You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Professor Jennifer Curtin. Morena, Jennifer, how are you?
Morena, I'm good, thank you.
It has been a busy week. We've heard the budget from the government announced last week. And I'm quite interested in talking a little bit about the gender snapshot. Can you explain a wee bit about what this is? Is it the first time we've seen something like this in the budget? How does it actually function?
Yeah, this is, from my perspective, I have a research team who've been working on seeing something like this emerge in the budget in New Zealand. There are 22 other OECD countries and over 80 countries worldwide that apply. It's like a process rather than an output. So quite often on budget day, we focus on how much money isn't going to this group or is going to that initiative and so on. This is more about what happens behind the scenes before the budget comes out. And what it is that for the first time, well, last year they run a little baby pilot of this to check. They give basically the Ministry for Women provides support for agencies to apply a Māori lens, a gender intersectional lens across the kinds of proposals that each of the agencies want to get money for. So they have to talk about the value proposition or the value that this will have in terms of cost-benefit and in terms of well-being and in terms of targeted priorities, but also in terms of the distributional impacts on different communities of women,
right,
different groups of those, gender-diverse, non-binary. You know, we're talking really trying to ensure that budgets, which are the, you know, this government's decision on who should get what, make sure that who question is being asked way at the start of the analytical process. It is really cool. It's only happened 15 agencies, 27 initiatives, but applying it to portfolios in areas that we haven't sort of really seen before, like transport, like applying a specific gender lens to, in Māori and Pacific, how they use public transport.
Right.
You know, it's just, sorry, I sound like a fangirl, but it's like, you know, there's been a lot of work behind this, and it's kind of the first baby step in quite a potentially really good process.
It's really interesting. What does it sort of result in outcomes-wise? What have we kind of seen some examples of, perhaps, in the budget that, where you can draw that line between this early-stage analytical stuff and the process that's been followed to what we actually saw last week announced?
Yeah, I think, well, proving causality is kind of challenging because we don't see all the books, and even if we OIA them, we'd get huge redactions on how some of this stuff panned out. But
yeah,
I think what the government learned too is that COVID, for example, had differential impacts on different communities, and the economic recovery packages were the same. So a lot of the initiatives that we saw for women and girls in the budget were sort of in those traditional domains that we associate with women, you know, stereotypical or not, like the care economy, seeing the ECE childcare subsidy expanded from being just accessible to three-year-olds, but also accessible now for children who are age two. And we saw, you know, contributions to KiwiSaver during parental leave. It's the women and men, but we know that still women take up the most of that, especially in the early stages. But in the transport space, what they've done, which is the baby step, to be honest, in Kiwi Rail, but also in the tech sector, which we relied, we drew attention to last year, is they're putting in place a lot of initiatives that cost money to increase the number of women taking up apprenticeships in tech sector so that they're 50% of that sector by 2030.
Right.
And in Kiwi Rail, they're trying to get more women wanting to think about, you know, getting into jobs and helping them get into jobs in sectors that are growing, that are hard infrastructure, say.
Mm.
So without this kind of tool, this gender toolkit tool that they apply over these bids, they wouldn't be thinking about those things.
Yeah. It's a very it's a very interesting thing that I think perhaps hasn't been necessarily focused on in the coverage around the budget. So it'll be interesting to see how this continues to affect budgets into the future as well in Aotearoa. But let's talk a little bit about another big button topic in the news this week. The National Party has been using AI to generate images for its campaign. And this has caused a lot of consternation and a lot of questions about the ethics and perhaps the moral responsibility of political parties in the lead up to the election, particularly when it comes to the conversation around mis and disinformation. Now, what's your thoughts on this? Do you have any sort of strong gut opinions on it?
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of blew my mind, to be honest, and I just want to do a shout-out for Andrea Vance for her story to bring this into the public domain and into the mainstream media so we can all have a wee think about it. It isn't particularly new in the sense that we know that fake news has been around for way before even Donald Trump called it a thing, but I think what's really... this isn't just happening here either, and I think, you know, watching the US as a useful moment in a way, because there's already a Democratic representative who's put a bill to Congress recommending that all ads that use AI, you know how in America they go, oh, you know, my name's Yvette Clark and I approve this message. Now they have to also go, I approve this message and I used AI to make this.
Right.
So that there's sort of like a warning. So there's that, But you know, people have a right to be worried about the fact that it's going to be very challenging to govern the ethics of political parties. They're independent entities. Government can't force them to do things if they're within the bounds of the law. And we do know that the ones that have been used by the Republican Party already in America, for example, you know, when Biden announced his re-election, showed fake visuals of China invading Taiwan, immigrants overwhelming the southern border, you know, other sorts of scenarios that people think are real. So I suppose one thing that's coming out of our communication studies department with the new Bachelor of Comms, one of the lecturers there, Associate Professor Luke Good, who's a bit of an expert, well, he is an expert on this stuff, he reminds us that we have agency in this.
Yeah.
That we need to be thinking about judging the credibility of the source that we're looking at. And, you know, it really pushes the buttons on the news media and our trusted news outlets like BFM. You know, there's an additional onus now on being the fourth estate, being, you know, taking up that mantle, mediating, you know, challenging what's put out there by the political parties and vested interests and doing some really important background work before they just assume it's real as well.
I'm interested to hear your thoughts on whether or not you think we'll see the Electoral Commission have anything to say about this. If not this election, but in the future, do you think we might see some regulation from that body?
There will probably still... yes, I think there will be quite a raft of information that comes out, because even before the AI, the broader cybersecurity issue was part of their terms of reference. And we know from early media reports that this is an issue that they're grappling with, and their report will be out in June. And at that point, you know, you'll be able to have the wonderful Maria Barge on from Victoria, who knows heaps about this stuff. But I would say that they will certainly be flagging key issues, and they will have done research on what might be possible to manage this. Whether or not they can sort out any regulation prior to the election, I don't know, to be honest. But it is a really... they will understand and recognise that it's a really important issue that they need. We will be looking to them for signals on.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Professor Jennifer Curtin. It's been a busy old week in politics. We will talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Take care.
Kia ora, thank you.
Kia ora.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.